Well, seeing all the children, it's a good reminder. Today is Mother's Day, and first I want to wish all of the mothers happy Mother's Day. You know, it's always an interesting time knowing that there are some of those here who Mother's Day isn't the happiest day, and but we do want to honor our mothers and just say thank you for all that you do for your children and for community in raising your children well. Being new, I know that there are a lot of things that I don't know about each one of you that maybe I should, maybe I wish I did. Being older, there are things about that I know about each of you. There are hurts and pains that I don't want to take for granted, that I don't want to minimize, and that I really don't unwittingly want to bring up and reintroduce pain. I also know that is always a possibility, and because I've learned in life that we are in one of three places. We are either getting ready to go through a season of pain, we are in the middle of a season of emotional hurt, or we're just coming out of that kind of season. We're in one of three places. The truth is those seasons can be from many different things. They can come from many different places. It could be a diagnosis that doesn't sound good. A child who's turned away from your faith or maybe even from you. The addiction that you want to put behind you, but it just will not go away. The death of a loved one. The end of a relationship that you never thought would end. The loss of a job. The list could go on, and in fact, in each of our lives, it does go on. Because each list is as individual as you are. Even in families, these lists are different. And that's even when we are experiencing the same situations. We face them differently. The gospel is good news. You know, the gospel is about the promise of what is to come after Jesus returns for his own, but it's not just about the future. The gospel is about how salvation and that promised future impacts and affects our life even now, and how they impact our lives in the stages of hurt and pain. Maybe especially when we're in the midst of the darkest hours and the deepest pits. This morning's message is from the book of Romans, and the passage that we're going to look at this morning, that's what it's about. It's about hope, about what happens even in spite of those deepest moments and those darkest pits. And so if you turn to Romans chapter 4, we're going to read 4, 18 through 21, and then we're going to skip down to chapter 5 and read the first five verses of what Paul says there. He says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said about him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver, though through unbelief, regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And then down to chapter 5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Now, Paul doesn't know all that any of the Roman Christians are experiencing. But he does know that they deal with hurt and they deal with pain like the rest of us. And rather than trying to deal with every situation, he gives us two good lessons for our spiritual growth despite these situations. First, he tells us about trusting despite the waiting. And the word that he uses as he starts that we read in chapter 4, he says hope. And he talks about hope, the hope that Abraham had that God would do what he said he would do. Now, hope is one of those words that we use that sometimes we need to stop and think about, because often we talk about hope and we're talking about something that's wishful thinking. But when you read through the pages of the scripture and the authors talk about hope, they're not talking about wishful thinking. It's not that I hope one day they will have space tourism and I can visit the moon. That's wishful thinking. This is hope. It's not that we think wishfully about something, but it's that we remember what has been promised and we long for that. Another thing about hope, when you look at the biblical reality of hope that sometimes we miss, is that hope does not ignore reality. You look at what Paul says about Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old and figured he was as good as dead. And Sarah, well, she was 90 years old and her womb was dead. Now, you go back and the ones that Paul was writing to, many of them would have known the story. So he didn't have to tell the whole story. He simply says, Abraham was old. Now, in our days, if somebody was 100 years old and they had a child, we would think that was unbelievable. A 90-year-old woman having a child, we would think would be really unbelievable. Now, for Abram, that may not have been that big of a stretch. Because if you look at the Old Testament, you go back to the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and we read about people who are a whole lot older than either of them having children. But following the flood, sometime in that first few generations, it evidently that the age of birth had dropped so much that Abraham was to the place where he realized at 100 years old, and Sarah being 90, that there wasn't a good likelihood that they were going to have children. But yet, he believed what God had promised. And so even though he knew what reality was, he hoped that God would be faithful. Another thing about hope that you see in this story when trusting God despite the situation, and that is hope is not passively sitting around and waiting for something to happen. I mean, here's just a question for you. Do you know what Abraham and Sarai had to do if they really hoped that God would fulfill his promise? If you don't, we can talk about it later. We're not going to talk about that this morning. But there are things that Abraham and Sarah had to do if they trusted that God was going to fulfill his promise. And it wasn't passively waiting to see what God would do. Jack Cottrell, in his commentary on Romans says this. He says, hope is the confident expectation of our future possession of all that God has promised us. It is knowing that God is faithful and waiting and wanting to see the time when God will fulfill his promises. A couple of translators, Lowe and Nida, say this. They say, of hope, that it is to look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. It's knowing what God has promised and waiting for it and waiting for the good and the beneficial side of those things, because none of us hope that bad things are going to happen. You know, I've never heard somebody say, I hope I get in a car accident today. You know, we hope, we long for things that are good and beneficial. We look forward to the good promises that God has made. And Abram and Sarai, they're the example of waiting and hoping. The second part of that is that they trusted in the midst of the waiting. And this is the hard part. A lot of times, it's not trusting God to do what God has promised to do. It's the period of waiting, of knowing that God has made a promise and knowing that God will fulfill the promise, but waiting for the time to come when God will act. But I don't know about you. I've learned some things about the waiting. That there is an important part to the waiting, because in the waiting, we give God the opportunity to prove himself faithful. You see, if God always said he was going to do something and the very next moment he did it, he simply is telling us what he's going to do next. And I could do that. You could do that. But it is allowing God to prove himself faithful through time that as we wait and we see what God is doing and we hope for that fulfillment, we find that God is working. And often we don't see God working until we look back. We see God fulfill the promise and we look back and we see how God was faithful in the time leading up to that, in what God was doing in the interim while we waited. Also, if you think about the story of Abram and Sarai, here they are. They're 75 years old when God calls them to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, and he promises them they will have a son, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait. For 25 more years, they wait, and Paul mentions this. He says, Abraham thought he was dead, and Sarah's womb was as good as dead. The time increased the unlikelihood that the promise would come to a fulfillment naturally. You see, the time that Abraham and Sarah had to wait made it all the more unlikely that Sarah would have a child without God intervening, without God doing something. And sometimes God allows us to wait. God allows us to push through and to persevere through those seasons of hurt and heartache and pain. He allows us to go through them because the things that he's promised are important, and we see them all the more fully as God's fulfillment of a promise the longer we wait. You see, here's the other side of that. If God waits and it's more evident that he's the one doing what needs to be done, if he's the one working in your life to bring peace and comfort, to give you hope and to give you a future, if he's the one that's working in your life, when those things come to pass, there is increased glory and honor that God will receive through the fulfillment. You look at the story of Abram and Sarah. Here they are. They're 190 years old, and they have in their arms a newborn baby, and it's not a grandbaby. It's their child. Who gets the glory for that? Only God can get the glory for that little baby being in their arms because, well, they're rather old for having children. And everybody that saw little Isaac, everybody that heard his laughters and his cries, everybody that saw him, that knew the story would give glory to God. And there are a lot of times God allows us to go through things and God works in our lives so that when we come out on the other side, he alone is the one who gets the glory. And when we tell the story of what God has done, others around us, all they can do is give glory to God. And sometimes it's a reminder, the gospel message is there to teach us to trust God despite the waiting. The other lesson that Paul taught to the church at Rome, he teaches to us is this, is that we can grow despite our circumstances. We can grow despite the hurt and the pain that we're going through. The hurt and the pain that we've been through. And we can grow knowing that we are going to go through those times again. And there are a couple of ways that we do that. The ways that we grow in that. The first one, I think, is through rejoicing. And Paul says that we should, excuse me, we should rejoice in our suffering. Now notice, he does not say rejoice for your suffering. None of us should look at the things that we're going through and say, oh God, I'm so thankful for this challenge. Rather, it's thank you, God, that you are with me in the midst of this challenge. Thank you, God, that you're going to work in this situation. We don't rejoice in or for our suffering. We don't rejoice for the pain. We don't rejoice for the heartache. We rejoice about what can happen in and through our suffering. I was thinking about this and thinking about, you know, here's Paul writing to the church at Rome. And he's already been through several things in his life. In fact, one of the first times we have record of some really difficult and challenging moments in Paul's life is in the book of Acts when he's at the church, or when he's in the city of Philippi, and he's planting churches and he's in Philippi, and he's beaten, and then he's put in prison. And not just put in prison, but he's put in stocks, so his feet were up in the air where it would be really uncomfortable to lay all night long, and it would cause problems and heartache. And Paul, in the midst of that, Paul and Silas, in the midst of that, they're singing and praising God. And a few years later, Paul would write to the church at Philippi, and he says this. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do everything through Christ or through him who gives me strength. Now, Paul is speaking primarily about financial situations as he writes that. And he goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord always. But if you look at what he says that in whatever situation I am in, I have learned to be content. He's saying to them, I have learned that God is faithful, and I have learned to trust him whatever I'm going through. Whatever I'm going through. So when he's in the prison in Philippi and singing in the middle of the night, it's not because he's happy to be in prison, having been beaten. It's because he knows that God is with him. He knows that God will do great things through whatever it is that he's going through. And in the end, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can endure whatever situation God puts before me because I know that he is the one who strengthens me. And we grow in that time. If you look at the list that Paul has, the apostle or the brother of Jesus, James, has a similar list in the first chapter of James where he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I don't know about you. I don't find it joy when I face trials. I could think of a lot of other words. But he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. We grow in our relationship with God. We work out the bad stuff and we bring in the good stuff, and we grow in our relationship with God as we face the trials of life. They may not be the happiest things. They may not be the things that we want. But they're things that God can use if we let him, to help us to grow. We grow in our faith, but we grow in our relationship with God. We grow in our relationship with God in the midst of these difficult times because, well, we get to know him in new ways. We get to experience things that we've never experienced and we never would experience outside of those difficult moments. We get to experience his faithfulness. We get to experience his commitment to fulfill his promises. We get to experience his love in a different way. We get to experience him as we wouldn't if we never went through those moments. And sometimes it's hard to go through those moments, to get to know God in new ways, but we also get to know God in deeper ways as we learn more and more about his faithfulness. As we get to know more and more about his love. It's not just that we learn new things about him or experience him in different ways, but we experience his love more fully. We experience his compassion. We experience him in ways that help us to know him more fully. And there are a lot of times that we need that. We need to know him more completely. We need to know him more fully. And sometimes the only way we can get there is through the struggles. But that's where the good news of the gospel comes in, because it isn't just about what God is going to do about in the future. It's about what God is working on in our lives now. We have the hope that one day he's going to return, but we know that he will never leave us and forsake us. We know that he's there with us. And there's one more thing about growing in our relationship, and that is that we grow in our relationship with the church. You see, the gospel message is the message about salvation. It's about what God has done to save you from your sins, to save me from my sins. But that's not all the gospel message is. You see, the gospel message is that we need each other. It's not about individuals only. It's about the community that we are saved into, that we are adopted into the family of God, and we need one another. You see, salvation is about us. The gospel message is about us. And so Paul, when he writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says this. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." What a great truth. That God will use the suffering that you are going through to encourage others. That God can take the pain that you've experienced, if you allow Him to, He can grow you through it so that you can be present for the church on the other side of that. Oh, I've known that to be the truth for years and years. I mean, after all, Paul says it, God says it, I know it's true. But I've experienced it in new ways. As I've gone through life, as I've done ministry, I've experienced this in new ways. And I really saw it most completely, probably in the last ministry I was at. We had a group of ladies that would get together and sew. Once a week, they'd get together to sew. And when one of them lost their husband, actually two of them at about the same time lost their husbands, I began to see how while I knew some great truths from the scripture that I could share with those women about God's faithfulness, about God's care, about God's compassion, I could share the truth of the word of God with them because I knew what it said. That paled in comparison to what a couple of the other ladies in that same group could do, coming alongside of them and saying, "These are things you're going to experience. These are some struggles. These are some truths that you need to know." And ones who'd been there before could walk down the path with those who are experiencing it now. And they could help them in ways that I never could, because I'd never experienced what they'd been through. And Paul says that God wants to take those moments in your life, that God wants to take the hard moments in your life, that God wants to take the pain in your life, and He wants to redeem it by allowing you to walk with somebody who's going through the same circumstances. It isn't that you know exactly what somebody else is going through, but you know a lot of the road and a lot of the struggles, the realities. If you've walked the road, God says, Paul says, that God comforted you in those moments and in the time since then so that you can comfort other people. You see, the gospel message is about us. As we experience God individually, we experience God together. And as we experience God together, we grow together. Because sometimes I don't have the hope I need. And I need somebody else to come alongside of me and give me a little bit of hope. Sometimes I just need somebody to tell me it's okay. And let me cry. Sometimes I need somebody to say, "Hey, you'll get through this." And Paul is saying to us, look at the story of Abram and Sarai. They did it. I don't know what you're going through, but you can do it too. And Paul says, I don't know what your situation is, but I know what God will do with it. He will help you to grow. And I was thinking about it this week. And you look at what Paul says. He starts with hope in chapter 4. And he works his way through this. And at the end of that passage in chapter 5, the last thing that he says we'll get is hope. And it almost looks like a big circle, like we've come full circle. But as I thought about it, I thought, no, it's not like a big circle. It's like a cinnamon roll. You start with hope. The very edge, you start with the very center edge thing. You start with hope. And then you work around and you come back around to hope. And what's happened as you've gone around that circle? It's gotten bigger. Your hope is now bigger than it was when you started. And if you go around a second time, you come back to hope and it's bigger. And if you go around a third time or a fourth, every time you go around, hope is greater than it was when you started. And I've noticed in life that the things that I used to think were really big deals and took a lot of hope and on my part, I look at them today and say, why did that even bother me? And it's not because it wasn't important then. It's because my hope has grown. My faith has grown. My perseverance has grown. My relationship with God has grown. So now on, when you eat a cinnamon roll, you just think, my relationship with God is like a cinnamon roll. All the more reason to eat cinnamon rolls, right? Well, I don't know the pain and the heartache that you're experiencing, and I don't know what you have been through. I know this, that God is with you, that God wants what's best for you, and God wants to use whatever situation you're going through to mold you and to grow you into the person he wants you to be. I also know that it isn't always easy to see the good that God will bring through our situation. But if we wait and we trust, he will do what he has promised. And that promise is for those who know him as their Lord and Savior. And this morning, if you don't know him, that these promises are great things to hear, but they're promises that aren't for you at the moment. They're for his children who know the gospel, who live the gospel. And if you don't know him, I'd love to visit with you about what that means. You can come and I'll visit with you now, or we can get together at another time and visit about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But for the rest of us, it's a challenge. Will we walk faithfully, trusting God despite what we're going through?